Welcome to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd with you every Wednesday, noon to one. Thank you so much for tuning in, making us a priority in your afternoon. So let's get started. Got a whole bunch of stuff going on in the studio here. A lot of really good energy, creative people here in the studio just waiting to talk to you. And I can tell you I've got Kwanzaa Humphrey up first, David Abadi, Jen Harris, J.C. Franco, Nathan Henry, and Jacob Robinson, all ready to share their information with you about projects that are going on and what's happening in the creative community. So let me talk about Kwanzaa Humphrey. He's a painter. He's an artist. He's done a lot of work in the creative community, photographer, and he's going to have his work in an exhibition called Three Queens and the Kansas City Artists Coalition 40th Anniversary River Market Regional Invitational Exhibition. Now, this exhibition will be at the Artists Coalition's Mullen and Charno Galleries, August 12th, my babe, through September 22nd at 201 Wyandotte, Kansas City, Missouri. The opening reception will be August 12th, 5 to 8 o'clock in the evening. And welcome, my friend, Kwanzaa Humphrey.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah. So, you know, I've seen your work around town. I've seen your work at The Late Show and other galleries. And, you know, what I read from your website is that you began drawing at a very early age. Tell us about that.
Right. Yeah. I kind of started, I guess, in preschool. And there was this little vehicle that I wanted to take with me. And obviously, I can't take toys away from school. So, yeah. I laid it on its side because you know how you can trace your hand and it looks like a hand. So I tried to do the same thing with the little Jeep or vehicle that I wanted. So I wanted to take it with me. And it just looked nothing like anything that, you know, traditionally what a Jeep would look like. So then that was kind of the start of it. I just kind of set it aside and then kind of started drawing and then just kind of picked it up from there. And then I guess that was four.
Yeah, you know, I love when that happens, an early interest in the arts and visual, you know, in drawing and that, in color and paint. Speaking of paint, your work is very colorful. You have a really good sense of color. Is that something that you learned or self-taught, or is it inherent?
I think it's just kind of experience. I've always wanted to paint with oil when I started kind of in art and went to school for kind of design and really got into kind of illustration and drawing, picked up painting and just really kind of took to it. And just the way that the oil paint kind of behaves, I was able to kind of over time kind of understand that and kind of really push it. And so I like to, it's more of kind of a, I guess it's intuitive now, but just from experience with it.
So. Now, you're kind of a jack of all trades because you've created everything from logos and entire websites and illustrations and all that. You've also worked with a design web, a team of design web people.
Right, right.
From a Fortune 50 company. So.
Yeah. It's so I went to school for kind of design, but I've always had kind of a passion for illustration and fine art. So just kind of my day job is in design, and actually kind of I'm doing design consulting right now with design thinking, which is kind of a business using design principles to solve business problems. And then I kind of have really just kind of taken off with the fine arts and just really do that kind of as a passion of mine. And right now it seems to be funding itself, so
beautiful.
I'm happy with that.
You know, and I love hearing that. You know, because sometimes it's really, really difficult, but you're very talented. And you recently were in a group show at The Late Show, or am I...
No, that's...
Or is it coming up?
Well, it's kind of an ongoing kind of thing. Tom Dethridge has several artists in his kind of in his studio, and I've always had like kind of a place there, and he's kind of taken me under his wing and kind of helped me kind of get established with my art. So actually, I do have another couple of new pieces coming up, and that will be at this First Friday. So
yeah, that's great. What about your subject matter? What is it that you like to paint? Because I know some of our listeners may not be familiar with your work, although I've seen a great deal of it around town and on your website.
I tend to kind of gravitate towards people. And just for me, art is really about seeing. and just kind of really kind of getting below the surface a little bit. Sometimes it's people that I know. Sometimes it's just people that I've seen when I travel. Mm-hmm. And I just something that's interesting about them that I try and capture kind of their feel, their emotion, and kind of really represent them and what they're about. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the three queens, let's talk about that.
Sure, yeah.
For the Kansas City Artists Coalition 40th anniversary.
Right, well, sure. I mean, just kind of with the... I don't know, I came across this image, and it actually was in a video, and it was kind of this group of people that were watching some dancers in Africa, and it just really, these women just kind of really struck me and kind of stayed with me, and it kind of represented, reminded me of, you know, kind of being on the neighborhood stoop and just how everybody kind of watched out for each other, you know, and it just kind of made me think about that, you know, that's some of the things that we need today is just kind of people just taking responsibility a little bit and being a part of the community. So
I love that.
Thank you.
I love that. But I've also seen some landscapes. Now, is this fairly new? Because most of the work that I've seen of yours has been people.
More figurative. Yeah. Right, right. Well, it's I've always kind of had a desire to do it, but I've just never really had kind of gravitated towards it until just recently. And really for me, it's about the clouds. So kind of I think a thing that's kind of connection in my work really is about that connection. So being able to represent people and people have told me that it's when I paint someone that's not necessarily famous, but just somebody that I've seen or met, is like they can recognize they've seen that in their lives or something, you know, their lives. And so it's kind of the same with the landscape is everybody can see the sky. And I mean, it's just really about capturing that and kind of wondering and seeing that connection that we've all kind of have this connection here on Earth. So
now, is there certain places of the city that you gravitate towards for the landscapes or is it just sort of random, you know, this is a great place, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, and it's kind of interesting because I'll usually it's about the clouds and just kind of wherever I'm at. And then just as I'm kind of down in the River Market or down in the Crossroads, I mean, there's kind of the interesting architecture because actually when I was kind of going to school, that was what I kind of wanted to do. But kind of the whole math thing kind of turned me off a little bit.
You and me both, kid. Oh, man. You know, if people go out to dinner with me, I don't hide that I'm actually counting my fingers when I'm trying to do the math. But that's all good. Yeah. Now, where did you go to school at?
I went to school at Missouri Western up in St. Joe. So looked at several schools and actually went up there kind of on an academic scholarship and played football for a little bit. And just enjoyed my time up there.
Yeah. If you just joined us, I'm talking to Kwanza Humphrey, who is a painter, a jack of all trades. He's a designer and an illustrator. Also, you work with cameras, photography?
I did for early in my career. I did a lot of kind of multimedia kind of development and did a lot of slides. And just it was some of the things that we were taught in school and kind of explored that a little bit. So I always have a camera with me wherever I go. And so.
And then I'm also reading that you've also done some voiceover work.
Right. Yeah, I think it's more of just kind of a warm body at work. But yeah, I mean, I was in kind of the multimedia department and created, you know, from anything from animation to, you know, videos and just some voiceover work. So I was able to kind of play in that area a little bit. So it's fun.
Yeah, very good. Please share with us your website.
Yes, it's my initials, Kwanza Humphrey, khimages.com. And I usually post kind of anything that I'm working on right now or any kind of shows that are coming out there. So.
And do you have a Facebook page?
I do, and actually you can get that from the website as well. So.
Right. You know, with this, I'm going to go back to the exhibition. Was that a juried?
Yes, the River Market exhibition is. And I've been a part of it now for, I think, about 4 years, and actually that was kind of what got me back into art. So I had met Philomena and Lou Bennett, who start the Artist Coalition there, and they kind of encouraged me to go see Tom Dethridge, and I mean, things just kind of picked up after that. So
yeah. Well, I know. I've known Tom for a long time, having gone to the Art Institute, and he had the little, the little gallery out of his home on Charlotte, I believe.
Right, right.
Yeah, so that's been a long time ago, and now he's sort of... Is it on Cherry?
It is. It's 16th and Cherry. So, yeah, actually, when I was in school, I mean, at Missouri Western, we'd come down mm-hmm. kind of the first Fridays. Mm-hmm. And somebody had told me then, it's like, oh, you should go see Tom Dethridge. And mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't as confident in my art at the time mm-hmm. and just didn't do it. And then, you know, when Lou Merrick mentioned to me, you know, hey, you know, you need to go see Tom. And I was like, it just kind of, things just kind of clicked, and I went and visited him and left some work there, and I've been showing with him ever since, and that's been, I think, about 4 years now.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. And you also have done some animation.
Right, right, mm-hmm. yeah, so and that's kind of my day job is mm-hmm. doing design, animation, kind of multimedia type stuff. Now, that was really from, I guess, 2004 to just this past year, and then I kind of moved mm-hmm. into more of a consulting mm-hmm. arena mm-hmm. and where I do a lot of facilitation and kind of helping with the business views, kind of think like a designer mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. kind of solve problems. So,
but as an animator, when you were doing that work, mm-hmm. was it as fulfilling for you? Or was it more, I'm really a painter and I want that tackle, I want that.
Actually, it's been interesting because everything's kind of informed each other. So mm-hmm. it's where I really, like, design is more about kind of telling someone else's story and really kind of understanding right. and being able to kind of communicate complex ideas in a way that people can understand them. And so that's that kind of challenge and that puzzle, kind of pulling that together and really illustrating that is really what kind of came that I like to do. Mm-hmm. But then it's kind of taking that and then kind of doing the reverse where I don't necessarily in my paint want to kind of give the story away all the time. I want the kind of the viewer to kind of mm-hmm. interact with it and being able to maybe pick up some things that maybe I didn't necessarily intend, mm-hmm. but leave it open so that they can hopefully engage with it a little bit more and pick up some things that it's like, oh, I didn't notice that, or, oh, that's, you know, really interesting
to
me.
So. Yeah. I know that your work really is quite interesting in the composition, the color. I mean, you've got it all.
Yeah, yeah. So, appreciate that.
Again, Three Queens, your painting, will be in the Kansas City Artists Coalition 40th Anniversary River Market Regional Invitational Exhibition. That is going to open August 12th, run through September 22nd. And that's going to be at 201 Wyandotte, Kansas City, Missouri. And the opening reception is from 5 to 8. And you will be there?
Absolutely. I'd love to see everybody come down.
Yeah, absolutely. And will you also be a part of the 40th anniversary block party? I mean, they have a lot of things
going
on.
That's right. Yeah,
this,
it's going
right?
to be really exciting. Yeah. Actually, I'm on the board of the Artist Coalition.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I'll absolutely be participating on that. So it'll be kind of coincide with that reception that afternoon or evening. So, yeah.
Beautiful.
It's exciting.
Now, just a last minute, do you have any advice or any sort of anything that you want to tell a budding artist out there that is just getting started or maybe thinking about, you know,
right.
creating?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of talking about this the other day. It's, for me, it's not about being perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's about seeing. So it's not necessarily about how you create, but being letting the art kind of speak and being able to see kind of what you want, whether it's, you know, in your imagination
mm-hmm.
or something that you're trying to represent. And you don't want to, for me, it's not about strictly reproducing a photograph. It's about kind of getting the essence.
Mm-hmm.
And with the essence isn't perfect. And I think the beauty is kind of in the perfection. So just, you know, always kind of look. And, I mean, I pretty much draw every day. So I think that's a quality that people need to do as, you know, as an artist. So.
I think that's really important, you know, to have that sort of discipline. I mean, you can't just sort of, like, put it down and hope that, you know, when you pick up your paint or a brush or something, that, oh, poof, and magically,
right.
you know, you'll have that talent. But
right. Well, and it comes with experience, too.
Yeah.
I think getting past that ugly stage, because, I mean, I have ugly stages in every painting, and I just know that, okay, this is where I have to be right now.
Yeah.
And I'll take it further, so.
Yeah. But sometimes it's kind of fun to revisit that and see sort of, you know, how you've progressed.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good. Tell us your website again, please.
It's khimages.com.
Very
and
good.
I have, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, it's all in there. So you can check it out.
We can find you there.
Yep.
Very good. Kwanzaa, I'm so happy that you came on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Yeah, come back.
It. Absolutely.
Come back soon.
Absolutely.
Very good. We're going to take a quick break from ArtSpeak Radio, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you for tuning in to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, every Wednesday, noon to 1 on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Next up, we have a group of fellows that are going to talk about Show and Tell, KC.org. And with me today is J.C. Franco, Nathan Henry, Jacob Robinson. They're all here in the studio to talk about Show and Tell. Show and Tell has two definitions. One is an exhibition on September 2nd, which will showcase projects and concepts distilled by a number of collaborators working together that redefines their own disciplines within the context of the West Bottoms. And secondly, it's an ongoing project that will set a foundation for collaboration among multiple disciplines for current and future projects with multiple contacts. So welcome, my friends, J.C. Franco, Nathan Henry, and Jacob Robinson.
Thanks for having us. It's a pleasure to be here.
You bet. So let's get started about this project. When did this idea first come? How did it evolve?
So the genesis of this project was basically a couple of us sitting in a room, right, and asking each other the question, what would happen if we gathered a bunch of different creative-minded people from multiple disciplines and had them focus on one concept? And that culmination was kind of like the question of the West Bottoms, mm-hmm. and kind mm-hmm. of where is that going, its current state, its history, and you know, what would happen if, like, a bunch of artists just did work and thought mm-hmm. together, and mm-hmm. what kind of collaborations would come about?
Yeah, so, I mean, we had been having conversations about that and about those issues, and we ended up meeting with Jeff Owens, who owns the Bower, and he mm-hmm. was interested in similar issues as a developer and someone who owns a building. And when we were having lunch with him, we just kind of came up with this idea of, like, if we had a bunch of artists and other creative people make work that was all specific to a certain area of the city.
Mm-hmm. So with that comes some research maybe of the history of the West Bottoms, and you know, how do you proceed from there once you kind of have this idea and it's planted, the seed is planted? Where do you go from there? How does it come about?
The research is all about a lot of art, right, is based on context and what is going on at the current time and what has happened before. And so, like, a lot of these projects are simply us going out to different people with different ideas and different creative energies and asking them, how would you redefine your, you know, creative energy or your discipline in this space?
Mm-hmm. And Nathan, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, yeah, I think as a group, as a whole, Show and Tell is just about that. It's about mm-hmm. about how we can come together and sort of just have a conversation about mm-hmm. thoughts and ideas in space, especially when it's applied to the community that mm-hmm. we live around.
You know, and I want to ask you if there's any connection between Show and Tell KC and the recent NEA grant that was awarded to the Kansas City Cultural Culture and Creative Services here in Kansas City. Does it have any connection to that?
Well, there's no institutional connection. I mean, we are really interested in what they're doing, and it's a good example of some of the interesting things that are happening down in that area, and that falls under the purview of what we're interested in too. Mm-hmm.
There's kind of an idea of a vision plan, as far as, like, the concept behind KCDC's project sounds more like a city planning or like an urban redesign project, but we're kind of just simply bringing the concept of the West Bottoms, the fact that it's there, and sort of just allowing people to run with it.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's not really like a direction of space. We're not trying to tell people what mm-hmm. to do or what mm-hmm. should be done. We're just trying to, you know, create work and create collaborations between multiple disciplines.
Yeah, because I know with their award, Our Town Grant, the West Bottoms Reborn is activating public spaces through the arts, and it's a project that is a placekeeping strategy that integrates local artists and design professionals in the visioning and planning process of public space to extol and nurture the unique qualities of the West Bottoms. What do you find interesting about the West Bottoms? Does it inspire, it's obviously inspired this conversation between the three of you and others.
Yeah, I think the West Bottoms as a space, it's just raw, and there's just a lot of things that could be done.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that initial conversation is a pretty easy one to start because mm-hmm. of just how the space exists. It just seems pliable at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of vacancy and there's a lot of change. I mean, it is an area, I think, of the city that's undergoing, it's in kind of a flux state. It's in mm-hmm. a space of transition, which opens it up to have room for us to express these ideas and play around it, you know.
But the other side of that, of course, is that there are already people down in the West Bottoms doing
sure.
their thing, and
yeah.
that's such an amazing thing to see everyone, like, sort of just using the space mm-hmm. the way they want to without thinking about anything else.
Yeah, like the 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So who are some of the artists that you are talking with in the discussions about the project, showcasing the projects and concepts and all that? Do you have people that you're working with currently?
Yeah, absolutely we do. We've got a lot of people that are interested and that will be showing work uh-huh. in the exhibition. For example, Isaac Logsdon, he's a ceramicist and a curatorial fellow mm-hmm. at the Nelson. Tim Amundsen, who runs the Turkey Creek Institute and has been studying other sites in Kansas City.
Miranda Clark is a sculptor who mm-hmm. is interested mm-hmm. in just the, I guess, like the overarching like concept of this, just like the structures in the West Bottoms
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Patrick Cooley, who is a ceramicist who's interested in the materiality of the space and like mm-hmm. the kinds of conversations that the buildings express with, you know, the ceramic nature. We also have a couple of architecture and design people working on projects too. Like Connor Bruns is a student of landscape mm-hmm. architecture mm-hmm. who's kind of leading this project along with Anna Rayburn about turning. Basically, they're asking, what if the train yard section was a civic space,
yeah.
and what if the underlying structure of the 12th Street Viaduct was a commercial space too, and what if certain streets were blocked off or reserved for pedestrian use, you know? So just ideas that are all around.
So tell us about the September 2nd exhibition. Where will that be held at in the times and location and all of that? Or is it still kind of in the works?
Oh, no, it's absolutely going to happen. So it'll be uh-huh. it'll be a month from now. It'll be the first Friday in September, uh-huh. September 2nd, at the Bower, 115 West 18th Street, down the crossroads. The doors open at 5. We'll be on the third floor in the event space. And, yeah, we're really excited about it. I mean, it's a great space and a great location for this kind of event.
I love that. In this write-up, you say that Show and Tell exists as a community, an organization that is willing to ask the question, what if? And your website is showandtellkc.org. And, you know, what will we find at this exhibition? Maybe some conceptual drawings?
Well, right now on our website, uh-huh. what you'll find is basically a small write-up of all the projects. Uh-huh. And we'll be, this month we're going to spend going in and updating those projects with more and more work. But it really is just a bunch of different things.
Uh-huh.
The sculptors will have sculptures. Ceramicists might have ceramics. Some videographers might have projections or TVs, which they'll show their documentation or their process. Some of the architecture and design fellows will present their ideas with maybe presentation boards or even site models.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a very diverse show with a lot mm-hmm. of different kinds of content, from fine art to design and architecture, anything and everything talking about this space from all angles
mm-hmm.
is really what we're interested in.
You know, and I like when we were talking in the green room, I found out that you each went to the Art Institute, and that's where you met, and you continue this conversation, because once you've graduated from the Art Institute, you don't have this sort of dialogue. I mean, you kind of lose that community of artists there. And again, going back to the write-up, I love that in this you say, a few designers, graduates of KCAI, are working on their idea for a shared community studio studio that could be more than just a place for recent grads to be together.
Yeah, actually, that's a project led by three graphic designers who will be graduating from Kansas City Art Institute. Mm-hmm. The names are Sam Yates, Chris Meyer, and Mary Leem. And their idea basically is this sense of collaboration is facilitated when we are all together in the same room, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
A lot of commercial creative disciplines need each other to, like, need other people around them to, like, facilitate their work, you know?
Right.
That's why you find a lot of people working in coffee shops or public spaces. It's because people around you kind of pressure you to, like, think and do work. And so their idea is to have this studio in the Bottoms, which will have different software and different different tools for people to use, and just they want to offer that to, you know, a graduating community.
Now, do you, when you all meet, I assume that you all have a gathering place,
mm-hmm.
right? Who do you invite, or who would you like to see at this sort of in the discussion with, you know, about show and tell? Do you have opportunities for people just to come in and drop in and just kind of listen or add to the discussion?
Yeah, absolutely. We encourage people to get involved if they want to participate. There's information on the website.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people want to show work in September, on September 2nd, but anyone who's interested in playing any role in this project, we'd love to have them.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yeah.
Do you have a Facebook page or any other sort of social media?
Our Instagram and Facebook can be accessed through the website.
Yeah, very good. Nathan? You're like, what? But, you know, this is, I think, very exciting for the West Bottoms. And, again, it has such a history of, you know, the meatpacking and the railroads and all that. Revisioned and kind of retooled, it'll be interesting to see what happens in that space, because I know it's going to happen, right? Yeah. So I am talking to J.C. Franco, Nathan Henry, Jacob Robinson, showandtellkc.org. Do you guys have anything else that I've left out or that you want to mention to our listeners? Quiet.
I mean, I think you covered everything. I mean, we definitely would like to talk more about it. If anyone's interested, I mean, shoot us an email, you know, post on the Facebook page. I mean, this is about collaboration. This is about having a dialogue. So
it's about a creative community. It's about a lot of people coming together to work together.
Well, I have to say, I'm pretty excited about the idea of an 8th Street tunnel, envisioning it as a permanent pedestrian and bicycle tunnel to transport people to and from the Strawberry Hill to the West Bottoms. I love that idea.
That's led by a group called Atlas Lens, and actually they're a group of geographers. And so instead of a plan, I guess they'll really be offering like a geographic study of like the benefits of having a connection between, you know, the Garment District and the West Bottoms. And they'll probably be working with designers and architects that are part of the group to try and make their vision come to life.
And I love the fact that, you know, it's the West Bottoms and Strawberry Hill. It's Kansas City, Kansas. So it's not just, you know, bound by, you know, Missouri, you know, by state line and all that. It moves into the Strawberry Hill area because that's very historic, and it's really become kind of a place to be now with Stephen Curtis, Epic Arts, and so many other, you know, things happening in that area too.
Well, it's really interesting because a lot of people don't think the West Bottoms is really that accessible, but the fact of the matter is it's kind of the heart of the city, you know?
Yeah.
Kansas City isn't just Kansas City, Missouri, but it's also, you know, north of the river and also west of the river, and that's kind of like, it's a really big draw for us too, to think about.
Well, and again, I think, you know, there's such a rich history of it, of bringing immigrants into Kansas City to work at the railroads and the meatpacking industries. And, you know, I remember as a kid, this is going to, I'm going to show my age here, but as a kid, I remember seeing the stockyards, and they weren't really in use, but they were wooden, and they were up in that area, and it'd be nice to reimagine that. So, very good. Thank you all for coming back. Will you come back and give us an update on what some of the ideas and
Absolutely.
Projects are that you're working on?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Very good. Thanks so much. We're
going to
be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after these messages. And you're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd with you Wednesday, noon to one, and we're just got a whole room full of really wonderful creators, designers, painters, poets, and all. So next up, I want to introduce you to Dave Abadi, who has... He's an entrepreneur. He's a builder of electric bikes. He's been building electric bikes as a hobby for around 4 years. His interest was initially sparked by a YouTube video of a homemade electric car. So he's decided to turn this hobby into a business. He's opened up his workshop, and we're going to talk to Dave Abadi. Abadi. There you go.
Abadi, thank you.
You know, I even wrote it out phonetically.
It's
but,
a tough one, I know.
Yeah, there you go. So I do want to say that I met Dave at the Makers Faire this year at Union Station, and what a fantastic, you know, event that is. You know, it's just really wonderful to see so much creativity all in one place under one roof, right?
Oh, it really is, and what impressed me the most about the Maker Faire is just the amount of people who show up who mm-hmm. want to show off what they've done.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is. It's just, it's they call it the world's largest show and tell. And to me, that's why it was such a great experience. This was the second time I'd actually done it. The first time I did it was in 2014. I was unable to go last year, but then I had a new bike project this year mm-hmm. that I wanted to show off. So we signed up to do it again. And I also have two young children, and they just had a blast down there.
Yeah.
They could not get enough of it, and it was really probably one of the highlights of their summer.
It really is a lot of fun, I think, for children and for adults. I mean, you see anything from, what was it, the Hammer's up. Oof, I can't think. They were having like the little bacon machine that was cooking,
oh,
and
really?
It kind of squirted out a little bit of bacon on a plate. And I mean, there's so much down there.
I know.
Cosplay and
scratch the surface.
Yeah.
We could be here for the rest of the time and nothing.
Yeah. But I want to talk to you about mm-hmm. your electric bike. So
yes.
You saw a YouTube video, and it was a homemade electric car. But what happened with that?
Well, I've always been into technology. I went to college and got a degree in physics, and I've always been kind of into technical type things. And I've always been very interested in DIY type stuff. You know, mm-hmm. I do most of the maintenance around my house. If there's something I can take care of myself, I prefer to do it. So when I saw the car, it really kind of, you know, clicked a light in my head saying, hey, that's something that I could do.
Uh-huh.
You know, that looks really fun. It's something that I'm interested in, you know, electric vehicles. It's high tech, and it's something I could probably do in my spare time. However, I started to look at it a little closer, mm-hmm. and I realized that converting a car is actually very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
It would help to have some knowledge of car mechanics, which I really didn't have that much knowledge of.
Mm-hmm.
And it also was a little more expensive than I thought it was going to be. So
okay.
instead of jumping right into doing the car, I decided to scale my ambitions back a little bit and
mm-hmm.
decided to do a bike project first to see if this was something I really wanted to get into or not. Well, the bike project turned into to be such a success, and I really enjoyed riding it, that I kind of forgot all about doing the car.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
in the meantime, I've built two other bikes, and now I'm really just focusing on bikes because, in my opinion, the bike makes a perfect platform for an electric vehicle because
mm-hmm.
it's, first of all, it's something that's already, you know, built for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that most people have in their garage already. And with the advent of new battery technology and new motor technology, it's actually quite feasible to
mm-hmm.
convert almost any bicycle into
mm-hmm.
an electric vehicle. And
mm-hmm.
that's what really sparked the most interest in me, the fact that almost anybody can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it does not take a lot of money, and it does not take a lot of technical ability either. It's something that's within the reach of a lot of people.
But are there bikes that are better built for this conversion?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. What I like to usually say is that almost any bike can become an electric bike.
Right.
However, some bikes are better than others.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that you want to try to find a bike that's a little more heavy duty
okay.
to take the extra weight and the extra speed that's going to come from motorizing your bike. So a mountain bike is a great platform
mm-hmm.
for making an electric bike. A beach cruiser is another good platform because those are usually made out of steel and are a little heavier than a regular bike.
Mm-hmm.
The only bike that really wouldn't make a great electric bike is it's a really lightweight road bike that
mm-hmm.
may be made out of some sort of exotic material
mm-hmm.
like carbon fiber or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
Something that
is already designed to be very lightweight, so it really wouldn't make a lot of sense to put some, you know, heavier electrics on it.
Well, and I have a folding bike, so I'm going to I'm just going to take that out of that you know, pool.
Well, it could be, but you would have to be careful in doing it. It would be important to select the parts carefully, but a folding bike is certainly within the realm of possibilities. Mm-hmm.
So if someone is interested in converting their bike to electric but don't really know all the mechanics and really don't want to do it themselves, they can come to you.
That's correct. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to open up this year, is that many people might want an electric bike, but they, like you said, they might not have the mechanical know-how or the electrical know-how, mm-hmm. or maybe they just don't feel like doing the work themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to open up is a place where people can bring their bike or bring their ideas of what mm-hmm. they want out of an electric bike, even if they don't have a bike currently. You know, I will work with them and trying to pick out a good model, a good fit, and something that would make a good electric bike, and then we could move on to picking out the parts from there. But that would be where it would start.
Yeah, and then you would do the installation and the testing.
That's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. I would do all of the installation. I would test everything. And the other part that I'm trying to bring to my business is that one of the biggest difficulties in converting a bike to electric is that the bike was never really designed to hold a battery.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a few different ways to solve that problem, but what I like to do is I like to make custom boxes that's actually designed to whatever shape the bike mm-hmm. is to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it looks almost like it's part of the bike itself, and that seems to be what people are really drawn to. It's very simple to get a rear rack and just stick a battery on the back of that, mm-hmm. but if you build a box that is more integrated into the shape of the bike, all of a sudden that it accomplishes a couple of different things. First of all, the weight distribution is going to be better because it's going to be more centered and it's going to be more a part of the bike itself. And second of all, you can make it to whatever shape that you need. So depending on how large of a battery that you want, you can make the box to match it.
Very good. And with that that box, would it also just protect the battery from the elements?
Exactly. Would respect it. Yeah. Protect the battery from the elements, mm-hmm. you know, to a small degree.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to want to dump it in a lake or anything mm-hmm. like that, but, you know, yeah. a rainstorm or something like that won't hurt it or anything
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And, exactly. It's a level of protection above and beyond what might be there.
So there are different sizes of batteries based on
exactly.
the bike. And
yeah. And that's completely dependent on what your goals are for the conversion. So if you have a fairly short distance that you mm-hmm. need to travel, we don't have to put a very large battery on it, and therefore the box will be smaller too. Vice versa, if you want to ride, 30 to 40 miles in a day, you're going to need a larger battery for mm-hmm. that, so you mm-hmm. need a larger box as well.
Very good. This is Dave Abadie, and he's at ebikekc.com mm-hmm. website, right?
That's right.
Did I get your last name right?
That's exactly right. Ooh. Abadie. Thank you.
So, are you seeing a lot of people that are wanting to do this? I mean, after seeing you at the Makers Fair, are people coming to you like, oh,
yes,
man, I gotta have this?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, yeah. Since I've launched the website, I've had quite a few inquiries via the website about people who are interested in various things. I've had people who want to do an entire conversion,
mm-hmm.
Other people who have had an electric bike that might have since stopped working. Maybe the battery has worn out or is no longer serviceable. We can put a newer, modern battery in it. For example, a lot of pre-built electric bikes come with lead-acid batteries, mm. which are okay, mm-hmm. but they're very, mm-hmm. very heavy. It kind of goes against what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
The newer batteries are made out of lithium. They're much lighter. You get a lot more power out of the battery for the same size and weight. And it's a great way to upgrade an existing electric bike to something that's going to have a little more power, a little more zip off the line, and frankly be a more satisfying experience.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Dave, for coming in and talking to us about it. ebikekc.com. And you know what? I'm going to wave at you from the window as you drive off on your electric bicycle?
Okay, sounds great.
Will that be fine?
That'd be great.
Very good. We're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio after this. Poet Jen Harris is up next. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd with Art Speak Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Golly, Who do we have up next? Would that be poet Jen Harris?
Hi. Hi. Thanks for having me, darling.
Yeah, yeah. You're a KC-based spoken word poet, women's rights and LGBT activist, published author, founder, and host of KC Poetry Slam. And I want to mention that you also recently are funded with your new... What is your new project?
It's okay. It's the Woman of Her Words
there
project.
You go.
Yeah, and fully funded on Kickstarter.
That's terrific. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. $7,000 contributed by the community.
You can take me to lunch?
Remarkable. Shoot, I wish. Let's do that. Just talk to me in a year when all that money is...
Beautiful. Well, and so the Woman of Words project, it unites classic poetry with modern performance art to serve as a conduit for healing, empowerment, visibility, and change.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. I love that idea. So as this project gets started... Where will it be here in Kansas City?
Yes, actually, I am. I actually am the recipient of a 2016-2017 Charlotte Street residency. So
terrific.
I will be developing a curriculum at Charlotte Street, which is going to incorporate spoken word and performance art in general to serve at-risk populations. We have a lot of organizations in Kansas City and nationally that are serving youth, and they are serving people in different demographics, but I think that we are continuing to overlook people who perhaps don't have the opportunity to seek therapy, mental and emotional help, and I have seen over the last 3 years a lot of healing facilitated just through hosting open mics, hosting Kansas City Poetry Slam. People come out and they tell their truths, and they leave better and lighter and more trusting in the ability that people do care about them and that they have the capacity to tell their own truth.
And I love that that happens with the arts. It has the ability to heal.
Absolutely.
You know, people begin to express themselves either visually or spoken word or through performance, and you know, it can heal.
Certainly.
It can change lives.
It can, and it has, and I very much believe in that. I couldn't have done this without the community, and I won't do it without the community. So,
well, I love the video where you thank you. That's a lot of fun.
You know Ryan Wilkes. He was the painter in Kansas City.
We love our Ryan
there
Wilkes.
Staring out the window while I was making that video. He's like, I think you're short-circuiting. I'm calling the police. But I wanted to say 151 thank yous out loud because I had 151 people come together to create $7,000.
That's really powerful.
Astounding.
Now, you recorded your first spoken word album, Flaunting Her Mediocrity, at Element Recording Studios. So that is due out the fall of this year, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's going to coincide with your September tour. So where are the places... you're going to head with a September tour?
Well, right now I've got 4 or 5 shows booked in California.
Uh-huh.
I had to cut some Washington and Oregon shows out because I have to come back for a Charlotte Street orientation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go back out to Denver. And then I'm looking at some more traveling and safer and warmer climates over the winter as well. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it's really going to invigorate your work. And I think people will really enjoy seeing you, you know, from the Midwest.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Jen Harris from the Midwest, spoken word poet.
Always rep in Kansas City.
Yeah,
I think that
we
are definitely visible on a national scale now, but that's taken a large number of people working for a substantial amount of time for decades to say we aren't a flyover state.
Yeah.
We have an incredible cultural hub here in Kansas City.
You're so active in so many different things. I want to, if you would share with us your website so people can look at all the projects that you've done in the past, the current, and, you know, what's happening with you.
Thank you. It's poetjenharris.com. There isn't a social media handle that's not poetjenharris. Before I could afford to tour or tour often, I felt like it was more important to create a visible presence online. So you can search it on YouTube, on Twitter, on Tumblr, anywhere that you could go. Everything is set up to kind of reach a wide audience.
And also Grateful Studios.
Grateful Studios. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
GratefulStudios.com.
Hello,
John. Yes. My wife and I have an art-related business. We actually are housed in Inner Urban Art House right now out in Overland Park. And we work Grateful out of there. So we do a lot of community activities, including working with Art for Arthritis and Joy Paints. And that's what she actively works and does and sells her work. So, yeah. Grateful.
You've done so much in your short amount of time here. And no, seriously, I mean, you're the recipient of the 2015 UMKC Jim Wenzer Pride Award for Outstanding LGBTQ community activism in Kansas City. You also were the 2015 and 2014 Pitch Magazine Top 3 Poets in Kansas City Award. And in 2009, you received the Kansas Journalist of the Year.
I did. Yeah. Yes, I've always had a love of writing, and I started at Johnson County Community College, and I had some really incredible mentors who led me to journalism and kind of gave me a structure and an idea of what writing could be, and that took me really far. And then when I wanted to be more creative, but I'm not a longhand fiction writer,
mm-hmm.
I quite literally stumbled upon slam poetry, and it changed my life. And then I realized that I could take all of these short quips, shape them structurally around slam poetry's idea of presentation,
mm-hmm.
and I took those to the stage for myself, and because I like to compete and win money. I'm a competitive person.
I like money.
I know, right? And then suddenly I just started getting emails and messages from people all over the world who had seen things online, or we actually have a person watching us right now, Carrie Carr, who found me on Facebook, and now she's one of my best friends. But yeah, I know, right here.
Well, I'm looking behind me.
There's someone right behind you right now. It's just an incredibly broad reach,
yeah,
with an art form that is so malleable, and people are attaching to it and bringing their own interpretations of it to the stage now. So I couldn't be more excited to be part of it.
And, you know, one more thing that I left off was your pop poetry.
Yes.
Your book that was released this year.
Yeah, I had the great fortune of Spartan Press out of Prospero's releasing mm-hmm. my book of poems, Slammed, which was part of the pop poetry series. Mm-hmm. They are, I believe, Arts KC grant funded, but they started this with, you know, $400 and a great idea,
yeah. Yeah.
of making sure that we historically preserved poetry in Kansas City in the same way that the Beat Generation and City Lights did, or similarly to that. I mean, Jason Reberg and Jeanette Powers and Will Latham really brought that to life, and I had the great fortune of being chosen for that project.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you have a quick, short sort of piece? A little bit? Let me put you on the spot.
Okay.
That you're going to perform?
Yeah, I mean, I can give you a short piece real quick. Let me just give you, let's do a quick one.
Thank you, Maria.
Sorry, right? Traffic lights. We mainly disagree on the color of traffic lights and whether it's best to resolve our emotional conflict with sugar or salt. That's the shortest poem I have.
I like it.
So, I'd be happy to perform for you anytime, but they're at least 4 minutes long.
I love that. Jen, what's next for you? I mean, you've conquered this and that, and are you going to run for president soon?
You know, I would be terrified to run for president. Character assassination is real.
Yeah.
You know, what I hope to move into is finishing my second book of poetry at Charlotte Street. I'm writing a 60-minute one-woman show to try and challenge myself to be more theatrical. Developing the curriculum to teach and travel and do that. And, you know, I'm going to knock all that out. My album releases October 9th, and people who funded it on Kickstarter actually sold that show out. So I'm just going to give them the best show that I can possibly give them and celebrate the community making this possible.
Life is good.
It is indeed.
You know, I should mention further that you were a part of the collaboration CD that we published.
Absolutely.
Here at KKFI as a thank you gift.
Yes.
And you performed with Rich.
I did.
Rich Hill.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and Barry Lee brought me in, and then I've been a part of Radio Ranga and
a
supporter of KKFI for a long time. You guys have really given a voice to every emerging artist that I know who's really taken off. And
well, heck, that's what we're here for,
because
we're community radio.
It is indeed.
You know?
And it's life-changing what you guys do in here. It gives confidence and visibility, and it's remarkable.
Oh, you are taking me to lunch, aren't you?
Let's go. Ryan wants to go, too, according to the internet. So.
Oh, my gosh. You know, do you have any last words that you want to...
you're going to die off soon, but...
Yes, Kansas City Poetry Slam happens tonight at Uptown Arts Bar. I host that. It's a wild, good time. Doors at 8:30, show starts at 9:30. So if you want to see competitive poetry in Kansas City, we've got an incredible crowd and an incredible group of poets that perform, so please come out.
Yeah, you know, it's an amazing community of poetry, spoken word, music, performance. I mean, this is a great town to to be creative in.
Absolutely. There are so many people willing to collaborate. I've been writing songs and collaborating with other singer-songwriters to work lyrics with them.
Uh-huh.
We've put a lot of music behind. Half of my album has musical tracks behind it, which was really incredible. So,
are you playing guitar now, or am I just making this up?
No, I'm hiring people to play guitar.
Yeah. Oh, honey, just get yourself a ukulele. That's all you need.
Right.
So, well, thank you so much, my friend Jen Harris, poet, and, you know, congratulations on all the good work. Well deserved.
Thank you.
Yeah. I want to thank Kwanzaa Humphrey, Dave Abadi. Abadi. Oh, look at that. Hi, oh, yeah. I'm gonna change your name from now on. Jen Harris, J.C. Franco, Nathan Henry, Jacob Robinson. Thank you all for showing up today and sharing with us your stories and projects, everything that's going on that's good for you. Next week, August 10th, on the radio will be Jean Chavez, Ana Marie Tatera, Stephen Velasquez from the Smithsonian. They're going to talk about Latinos in baseball and the barrios and the big leagues. It's going to be sort of a collecting endeavor from the Smithsonian and the community here in Kansas City. Also, I will have founder, CEO of Weaving Influence, Becky Robinson, will talk to me by phone, and that will happen all next week, August 10th. Please, it's hot out. Take care of your pets. Make sure they're watered. Keep them indoors if you can. I know my GD Deluxe is downstairs drinking water like a fool. Check on your neighbors because it's really, really hot. Stay tuned next for Jeff Harshbarger, Jazz in the Afternoon, and please like us on Facebook. We're here for you every Wednesday, noon to 1 on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Honey, I'm coming home.